several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me. Don't try to fool me.
And we know you've been waiting all week, and the time has come for another fun-filled episode of Grape Encounters Radio. This is David Wilson, your host, coming to you from our very, very high-tech barn in the middle of a vineyard that we will not tell you about. It's our super secret location. We got some great wines here, and we went through a couple of great wines here during the week. My favorite was something that was sent to us by Ancient Peaks, and I really want to track these guys down. I was not familiar with this winery, but I am going to buy a whole bunch of their wine. It's so good. Later on in the show, we're going to try to find these guys. I got to know more about their wines. But in the meantime, I just have so many things that I want to talk to you guys about and so many people that I want to talk to on the show. And coming up a little later on the show, we've got a little segment that we're going to include for the next several weeks, a little bit about home winemaking. And our friend Tristan Johnson at morewinemaking.com has agreed to help us with this segment. So we are very excited about that. Even if you're not interested in making wine at home, got to tell you, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn what a lot of the lingo means. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. In the meantime, I wanted to tell you about a little thing that happened earlier this week. I was in a tasting bar with a friend, and they got this great little patio outside. They have really hundreds of wines that you can choose from different winemakers. And we're sitting there having a great time, and then all of a sudden, these three young kids come out. They've got a bottle of wine. Very young. I would have definitely carted them. But we got to talking to them, Sierra, Robert, and James, and they were exceedingly young, but old enough to drink wine. Turns out it was Robert's birthday. Robert chose not to drink tequila, not to drink Jim Beam, not to drink Jack Daniels. No, Robert decided he was going to drink wine for his 21st birthday, and I was so proud to see that happening because, you know what, a whole lot of young people are staying away from the hard liquor, and they're going to bottles of wine instead. But anyway, I was asking them what they decided to choose for Robert's 21st birthday, his first wine drinking, or at least legal wine drinking experience. It was a very, very gentle Riesling and, you know, just didn't seem right. I had a very, very hearty bottle of red that we were about halfway through, and I motioned Robert over to our table and said, you know what, don't start your wine drinking life with Riesling. Nothing wrong with Riesling, by the way. In fact, as you know, Amy Riley, our aphrodisiac expert, says Rieslings have strong aphrodisiac powers, but Riesling wasn't the right place to start. And we gave him the red. Oh my gosh, his eyes lit up like a Christmas tree when he tasted that. And funny thing is that Robert, Sierra, and James, they went through their Riesling. And then they went on to a bottle of red. They graduated right there on Robert's 21st birthday. And the red that they graduated to was Gnarly Head. That would not have been my choice. In fact, Gnarly Head is appropriately named, I think. But anyway, what about all these young wine drinkers? You know, every time I go into a tasting room, it's either I'm getting older or they're getting younger. But I've been asking a lot of my friends. In fact, we're going to hunt down Keith Sarlos. Is Keith even around this week?
No, he's in South Dakota.
What? Keith's in South Dakota.
Yep.
You have any idea what he's doing there?
I idea.
You have any idea how we can get him? We're going to try his cell phone. Yeah. I don't like to do cell phone interviews, but I've got to ask him about this. I found this article. Now, it's from last year, but I think it's still very much current, and probably anything that this article says, you can multiply to a larger degree. But anyway, it was in Wine Business Monthly. And they're talking about the stunning growth in core wine drinking population. And boy, I'll tell you what, this article confirms everything I've been saying. They say the most positive trend in the wine drinking world is among the younger generational segments, Generation Xers and Millennials. The greatest growth and the most optimistic conclusions from the survey come from Millennials. And that's ages, 15 to 32. How's that possible? Is there any state in the union that allows kids to drink at 15? I guess you can drink at home. But anyway, it goes on to say they and the Generation Xers accounted for what is described as stunning growth in the core wine drinking population. Nearly half of the millennial segment reported a net, get this, 23% increase in wine consumption, double that of Generation Xers against millennial or declining figures for the aging baby boomers. That's right. The baby boomers are drinking less. I guess they're going from wine to ensure. Anyway, they describe the trend as trade-off phenomenon, where better than 10% of wine drinkers, primarily Generation Xers, are increasing total wine consumption at the expense of beer and spirits. Absolutely true. Sales have topped the alcoholic beverage chart, and nobody ever expected that to happen. Now, get this part. It says that millennials take nearly 3 glasses per occasion. They drink nearly 3 glasses of wine compared to 2.41 for Generation Xers and 2.13 for baby boomers. So very interesting trends, and that explains why when you go into wine bars and wine tasting rooms that you see so many young people, and there's a lot of carding going on, gotta tell you that. Speaking of things that go on in wine tasting rooms, you know, it seems like every time I go wine tasting now, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden a whole bunch of women come in. And they are having the time of their life celebrating the marriage, or at least the pending marriage of their friend. It's bachelorette parties galore in the wine country. And I don't think I've ever seen so many people having so much fun. And I am determined that we are going to follow one of these bachelorette wine tasting groups around. You know, I get a lot of messages through Facebook and on the internet. And I get messages from operators of limousine services and taxi services and people that haul people around in the wine country. So I'm going to contact some of these guys and see if they can work it out so that Grape Encounters Radio can be part of a bachelorette party, because I really want to know what goes on when they're not in the wine bar. So, hey, if you're operating a limousine service or a wine tour company or a wine cab company, get to us at grapeencountersradio.com. You can just drop us a line there. There is an easy way to communicate with us, because we want to follow around your bachelorettes. And if you're a bachelorette party to be, again, get in touch with us. We're going to have so much fun. Maybe we'll have some special surprises for you. And we'll be back with special surprises in the next segment of Grape Encounters Radio with Tristan Johnson of morewinemaking.com. We're talking home winemaking when we return after just a couple of messages. Stay tuned. We thank you so much for listening to Grape Encounters Radio, and I must tell you that we've got some great ideas for future episodes, but we also want to know what you'd like to hear us talk about as well, or perhaps you've got a great story that you'd like to share on the air. If you want to get in touch with us and share your ideas, simply go over to grapeencountersradio.com. You will find an email connection right on the homepage, and you can simply click on it and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll be very glad to consider that, and we'll certainly drop you a line back. Now, there's another great way to reach us, and that's on Facebook. We'd really love for you to become our Facebook friend. You can just simply search for Grape Encounters Radio's group page and join the group. It's a very fast-growing group, but it's a great way to communicate with us here at Grape Encounters Radio. Go ahead, be our friend, and feel free to drop us a line and tell us what you'd like to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
Are you new to Grape Encounters Radio? If so, you may want to check out some of our past shows, and we have every single one of them available to you at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You simply go to the website and click on the Shows button, and you'll find a description of each and every show that we've done for more than a year, and you can just simply click on that link and either download the show, or you can listen to it right there as you're online with Grape Encounters Radio. Another thing you might want to check out is our photo gallery, where we've got a whole bunch of photos of all the things that we've done and talked about here on Grape Encounters Radio. You might also want to check out those highly sought after mermaid photos. You'll find them in the artiste file under our photo gallery. Really worth checking out. And of course, all the other photos there as well. There's a lot of fun to be found at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
My heart is drenched in wine, but you'll be on my mind forever.
And welcome back to Grape Encounters Radio. It's David Wilson here, and I must say that I'm pretty excited about this segment because we're going to do something a little different for the next 12 weeks. We got a little segment we're going to interject every week for the next 12 weeks, and it's going to be about home winemaking, and I think you're going to totally and completely enjoy it. You know, we did a couple of shows on home winemaking. One we did with Wes Hagen, and we had so much response to that show. It was absolutely amazing. And then we hunted down a guy by the name of Tristan Johnson. He's the brand manager for what might be one of the coolest companies on planet Earth. It's morewinemaking.com. And we talked a little bit about home winemaking. It was a fabulous show. And what was so fascinating about it was basically how easy it is to do it. But we're going to talk a bit for the next 12 weeks about home winemaking. And I think even if you're not interested in making wine, as we go through these steps, you're going to learn a lot about, you know, all of these terms and all of these processes that you hear about when we have other winemakers on, and you're going to get a great education. So we've got on the line the one and only Tristan Johnson from morewinemaking.com. Hey, Tristan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, David, thanks for having me today. I'm getting ready for the harvest season here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You up in the home office right now?
That's right.
And that is where?
We're in Concord, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
You have mapped out a little plan for our listeners, and we're going to take the whole idea of making your own wine in chunks, right?
That's exactly right. You know, I think, like you said, that this is going to be really interesting for folks who even might not be interested in making wine at home, just to get a little bit more understanding of the winemaking process and what goes into the bottles that they enjoy drinking at home. So.
Well, you know, whenever we get winemakers on and they talk about their wines, they will talk about things like racking and destemming, and, you know, they'll use some terms that not everybody is familiar with. And in going through the process, I guess you'll be really explaining to people at home exactly what goes into making a bottle of wine.
Yeah, that's the idea. And maybe the first place to start is with whether or not you'd want to make wine at home at all.
First of all, I think people are a little discouraged from the idea because it sounds, I think, complicated.
Well, it can be. At the same time, it can be pretty straightforward as well. I think more than anything, it is a process that you have to commit yourself to. You know, making wine isn't like a lot of the other at-home activities that people do, whether it's like sausage making or beer brewing or even tending a garden. The winemaking process is going to start at one point during the year, and in most cases, it's going to be at least 9 months before you're even putting the wine in a bottle. So you have to commit yourself to that time frame.
This is not a hobby for the impatient.
No, not at all. It's one of the things that we talk about a lot with customers is that if you're in a hurry to get something done with winemaking, maybe it's time to look for another hobby. So.
But it's not all that time-consuming, is it really? Because you're spreading out all of the chores that you do over a pretty long period of time.
That's exactly right. You know, up front during the fermentation time frame, there's more work to do. And once the wine is sort of down in its aging container, it's pretty much sitting and just developing itself. And you have to check in on it every couple of months. But you're talking about a Saturday afternoon, you know, every month or two to maintain it. But you can't accelerate the process by which it's really ready.
Okay. Now, before we get into the question of should you make wine at home, I kind of wanted to talk more about your company, morewinemaking.com, because you guys have seen phenomenal growth, right?
Yeah. Over the course of the 10 years or so that we've been doing the home winemaking thing, we've seen pretty tremendous growth. And I think that it's, it makes sense. People these days want to do more at home, want to buy less, and making your wine is rewarding, it's challenging, and it's something that I think you can set out to do and really reasonably achieve, but then when you're done, you have something to be real proud of.
But can people really at home make fabulous wine? I mean, or is it just sort of passable wine?
I mean, you can certainly make fabulous wine at home. I would suggest to you that your first wine is probably not going to be a 95-point kind of endeavor, but certainly you can make your daily drinker for the year at home without a whole lot of effort or time investment. So.
Now, do you have any idea what the scope of the home winemaking world is? I mean, are we talking about thousands or tens of thousands? What is it?
Nationwide and including, let's say, the rest of North America, but certainly including Canada, we're probably talking about hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
You know, to put that in perspective, I think there are only, 7,000 wineries in America, something like that?
Something right around that number, yeah.
Of which the lion's share of them are in California, right?
Yeah, about 5,000.
Yeah. So we're talking maybe 7,000 wineries in the country, and you say hundreds of thousands, maybe? Of winemakers?
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
Certainly.
Okay, so why?
Well, there are sort of two classes of home winemakers. There's the folks that work with fresh grapes or frozen must, but they're working with the fresh product and making wine in the more traditional way. And then there's a huge group of people who are working with wine concentrate kits. And that's a very, very popular way of making wine at home, 6 gallons at a time, in places where people don't have access to fresh fruit, and also specifically in Canada, where the import taxes on wine made in the United States are very, very high, and wine's really, truly a luxury good.
So you have a lot of customers up in Canada?
We have some customers up in Canada. Our company focuses more on working with fresh fruit than we do with the concentrate kits. Other companies out there whose whole focus is working with those concentrate kits, and I would say that they have a lot of customers in Canada.
Now, we're going to revisit that idea of getting fresh fruit, I think, in a future episode of this winemaking program. But it's interesting because both you and Wes Hagen, one of our frequent guests, really dispelled the rumor that getting good fruit is hard to get.
Not at all hard to get. Not at all hard to get. It takes a little bit of legwork. It takes going out to wineries, going out to vineyards, and talking with the people in charge. But what you'll find when you get into that situation is that the winemaking community in general is a very open community, and people are, 9 times out of 10, more than happy to help.
You know, I've heard more than a couple of fruit growers say, I can be talked out of a little fruit. I've heard that a number of times.
Exactly. You know, bring a bottle of wine, be friendly, don't presume that the person you're going to talk to owes you anything, and chances are you're going to come away with what you want.
Okay, so the advantages to home winemaking are what?
Well, first of all, like we talked about, it is both challenging and rewarding. I'd tell you that it's cheap, but when you look at the overall cost of buying your fruit or buying the materials to make your wine for a year up front, it's not really cheap. It's certainly cheaper than buying wine at the market every week, a couple of bottles a week. You're not going to make wine for $1 a bottle, but you can easily make wine for $3 to $5 a bottle. That's quite good. So
That's dirt cheap. Okay, so you could actually, I think, dive in. If you wanted to go in at the lowest level, you could dive in for what? Just a few $100, right?
Probably $500 would be the place where you would get started.
Not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, and that would give you the ability to make, say, about 6 gallons of wine or about 2 cases of wine. But it would also have all of your equipment that you need to do that. So the next time you go to make that wine, you're only spending $200, $250.
Yeah, but you put it in perspective. $500 to make 2 cases of wine is, it's around $20 a bottle, something like that, right?
That's right.
And you made it yourself, and you get to keep the equipment, right?
That's right. So you amortize the cost of the equipment out across every batch that you do, and eventually the equipment was free, and you're making wine in the $5 to $10 a bottle range.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Tristan Johnson. He's the brand manager of morewinemaking.com, which is a site you really want to visit. That's a really fun website to roam around. There's a lot of really cool stuff there. And then you've even got some books on winemaking that you can download for free.
That's right. We've written pretty comprehensive guides to the process for both red winemaking and white winemaking that are available as free PDF downloads on the website.
You know, but let me ask you this question. A website's a pretty impersonal place. Is there someone that people can actually call and talk to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, besides having access to myself and our other full-time winemaker on staff, our customers have access to our full customer service department, and these are guys who are passionate about home brewing and home winemaking. They're guys who make wine either with myself or by themselves. We have a little corner in our small commercial winery here at our facility that we make available to any employee who
really
wants to make a batch of wine. We provide equipment and they kick us back a little bit of wine. But, basically you call in, and anybody that you get on the phone is going to be able to talk to you about winemaking and is going to be eager to help you figure out whatever it is you have a question about.
Now, do you get guys calling you and saying, Tristan, you are not going to believe the wine that I made?
Absolutely.
It's just off the charts.
Yeah.
And have you tasted some that are as good as the best winemakers out there?
I've certainly tasted some very, very, very well-made wines that people made at home.
And how many of these people make the quantum leap into the real winemaking business?
I would say we probably have 3 to 5 customers a year who make the leap.
And do they often do it successfully?
So far, nobody's gone out of business that I'm aware of. So.
Oh, cool. All right, so we're going to come back then for the next 11 weeks, and we'll do a short segment, and we're going to talk about the different phases of winemaking, right, and take you from start to finish.
That's right. That's the idea.
I'm excited about this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we will do this each week, and if you want to know in the meantime more about making wine at home, you can go to morewinemaking.com. You can look for the free winemaking books there, right, and download the whole book.
That's right. There's a box right on the homepage that will take you to the area of our website that has all of our instructions. We actually have over 35 individual papers and instruction manuals that either cover products we developed or specific parts of the winemaking process, and they're all available for free.
And by the way, we have a link to morewinemaking.com because so many people have asked us about it. So you can just go to grapeencountersradio.com and you can click on that link, and we will have you back next week, Tristan. We are so appreciative of you taking part in Grape Encounters Radio.
Hey, look, David, it's my pleasure. I'm really looking forward to it.
And we'll be back. We so appreciate
Grape Encounters
Radio.
To Grape Encounters
in just a couple
Radio.
Of minutes. And recently, we put a request out to our Facebook friends asking them to make suggestions for future topics on Grape Encounters Radio. And I must tell you, we got some amazing ideas, but we're looking for even more. So if you've got some ideas that you'd like to share with us about things that we can talk about on the air, just go to our Facebook page and join the Grape Encounters Radio group page. make your suggestions there, or you can go to grapeencountersradio.com and find the link to our email and drop us a line. We really would like to know what you'd like us to talk about. Again, all you need to do is go to grapeencountersradio.com, find the email link, and drop us a line. We can't wait to hear from you. You can also contact us on Facebook at the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook page.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we would love to help support your wine-related event. In past weeks, we've supported the Chardonnay Symposium, which was a major hit, and we also supported the Cellar Classic, which set a record by raising over $100,000 in that rare wine auction. We, of course, also have been involved with a couple of events over at our friends Sarlos & Sons, which have been major hits, so we'd like to help you as well. If you have an event that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio, you can contact us through the website at grapeencountersradio.com and just let us know what you've got going on, or find us on Facebook at the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page. All you have to do is search for Grape Encounters Radio and you'll find us there along with a very big fan base. We really appreciate all of you who've joined our group page at Grape Encounters Radio.
What could that mean?
And we are back with the second half of Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here from the super secret location. Yes, we're in our barn out in the middle of a vineyard, and we are not going to tell you where unless you've got a really interesting story to tell, in which case we will put you aboard the John Deere and we'll bring you in, but you're going to get blindfolded and you will have to pinky swear that you will not reveal the location of our broadcast studio. You know, from time to time, winemakers send me wines, and I get to taste some really good stuff. In fact, usually they'll send me wines and say, you're just not going to believe how good our product is. And, you know, most of the time when those winemakers send their stuff, they're pretty confident, and usually the wines are pretty doggone good. And I got something the other day from Ancient Peaks Winery, and I have got to tell you, it absolutely blew my shorts off. No kidding. They had a blend that was called Oyster Ridge. It was an 07. And oh my gosh, this was a mighty fine red. And then a day or two later, I tried their Syrah, also an 07. And it was just, it was beyond belief. I love these wines. I would buy cases of this stuff. And it looks like we've been able to get Carl Wittstrom on the line from Ancient Peaks Winery. Hey, Carl, you're one of the owners, huh?
Yes, I am. I'm one of the owners. There's three owners, Doug Filippone, Rob Rossi. There's three families, and my family, the Wittstrom family, are the owners and operators of not only the Santa Margarita Ranch, the Margarita Vineyards, and Ancient Peaks Winery.
Oh, my gosh. I got to tell you something. I don't talk about specific wines too often on Grape Encounters, but we were sent some wines by your PR folks. And I got to tell you, it absolutely was amazing. There were two in particular. I think you call it the Oyster Ridge, right?
Yes, Oyster Ridge.
And that's an 07. At least that's what I had.
Uh-huh.
And then the Syrah, and I'm telling you, these are just mind blowers. These are fantastic wines, at least for my palate.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And this Oyster Ridge area, I think, is a pretty pretty interesting spot from what I understand.
It's very interesting. You know, the French talk about terroir all the time, and Doug Filippone and myself are basically farmers, and so terroir really takes on a real important. It's more than winemaking. It's wine growing, and it starts in the soil. And this place is phenomenal. It's between two major convergent faults. What we call Oyster Ridge is actually a section of the vineyard that 5 million years ago was a nearshore basin. And we have these huge oysters. They're actually like monster oysters. They are 8 inches across and anywhere from 16 inches to 18 inches long.
You got to be kidding. Wow.
And so they're made up of mostly calcium, and so that adds a real interesting element to the soils. But there's 12 major soil types in the world, and we have we've been pretty fortunate to have 5 of them.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's, you know what, we have a lot of people who listen to the show via internet, so they're not as familiar with the area that you're in. Can you just give us a rundown as to where Ancient Peaks is located?
Well, we're in the Paso Robles AVA, which is the American Viticulture Area, and we're halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles, just a little bit north of San Luis Obispo. And the Paso Robles AVA is quite a large area, and we're at the very southern tip of it. We're actually only 8 miles from the Edna Valley and 22 miles from Paso Robles proper. So we're the coolest vineyard in the Paso Robles AVA, and we are virtually the closest to the ocean. We're only 14 miles from the sea.
Now, as you go north, the temperature just climbs and climbs for a while, doesn't it?
Yes. In the valleys, it does. In the foothills on the west side of the Paso AVA, they have a little higher elevation, and it's a little closer to the ocean over there. But when you get to the east of Paso Robles, on a hot day, we're anywhere from 15 to 20 degrees cooler.
That's amazing. How far away from the ocean are you?
We're 14 miles from the ocean as the bird flies, and we're separated by the Cuesta Grade, which is part of the Santa Lucia mountain range.
So does that block the ocean breeze from hitting you guys there?
It does, and then we have a little section within our vineyard, and there's a notch in the mountains, and it's the headwaters to what we call Trout Creek. We have three components to the ranch. One of them is Oyster Ridge, then we have Trout Creek, and then we have more flats.
Yeah.
And all of them have different microclimates. Really, the best thing would be is if you could come up and see it.
If you invite me to come up and see it, I will not only come up, we will bring the microphones along, and we'll do a whole show there at Ancient Peaks.
Well, that would be wonderful, and I can talk about it for days, and I oftentimes get accused of getting a little too enthusiastic about the place, but when you see it, you just really get a sense of how it's a compelling place.
Well,
and there's an abundance of wildlife, geology, biology, you know, as well as the viticulture aspect of it. And all of them, you know, are combined, and the end result is in our wines. And we think it's special because of that.
Well, you know what? I was reading a bit about you because as I said, I tasted the wines. I was not familiar with your wines. And you know, sometimes, you know, people will send you wine or share wine with you, and you go, and they say, this is going to be great, you're going to love this, and, you know, there's a bit of disappointment. But I opened up that Oyster Ridge, and I'm going, what the heck? And I immediately hopped on the computer and started checking out you guys. You guys have, by the way, a great website. I don't know what, I think it's, is it ancientpeaks.com?
Ancientpeaks.com, yes it is.
And then there's a lot of history on the property too, right?
Oh, it's a phenomenal history. It was first, it was inhabited by Native Americans for, you know, somewhere between 10 and 13,000 years before the Europeans came. And the Franciscan missionaries actually started the ranch in the 1770s. And then it was a Mexican land grant, and there's an abundance of, I don't know how much time you have to go through the whole history, but when you come up, I'd really love to take you through the whole thing.
Okay, got an idea. We could actually come up next weekend.
Perfect.
And we could probably do the show then, I think. And, you know, if you'd be willing to show us around, that'd be fantastic.
I'd love to.
So what would we see on the tour?
Well, we usually start the tour with the historic buildings, and there are some bedrock mortars that the Native Americans used for thousands of years. They used it to prepare acorns and wild grains. Then we talk about the Franciscan missionaries, and there's some historic buildings. There's a building called the Asistencia that was built in the 1770s by the Franciscan missionaries with the assistance of the Native Americans. And then the ranch house was built in the early 1800s, and we're right in the process of converting it into a museum right now. We have one of the largest artifact collections in San Luis.
No kidding.
Cali,
wow.
Indian artifacts. Then we go out into the vineyard and we talk about the geology and the formations of the mountains. And then we go into the vineyards and talk about the different soil types. And then we stop and talk about the viticulture practices, our sustainability program. We're a certified SIP, which is Sustainability in Practice. And usually we'll see a little wild, few wildlife along the way. We just recently have got some, I guess it's slightly disturbing, but in other ways not disturbing. We have some real close-up encounter with a mountain lion that our cattle ranch foreman was able to capture on film.
Knew so you were going to say that.
30, 40 feet of a mountain lion.
Hey, here's the big question. Are we going to actually be able to taste some other wines as well?
Oh, I think we could probably find a little bit to taste. Well, I always tell people we have a lot of problems in life, but lack of wine is not one of them.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do it. We're running out of time in this segment, but we can devote a whole lot more time next week. We'll come out there. Seriously, we're going to come up there. We'll bring the microphones, and we'll take everybody on a tour because, you know, we don't do that very often. But I think your place is just that interesting, and I really want to learn more about it. And your partners are very interesting, too, and we'll talk more about that when we get in front of you, right?
Certainly. I'd love to share it with you and love to show you the ranch.
Okay, well, we will do it. So we're talking to Carl Wittstrom, and it's Ancient Peaks Winery. And, hey, we're going to go there next week. And, Carl, I will talk to you off the line. We're going to go to break right now and figure out how we're going to work this out. And, folks, we will be back with more Grape Encounters Radio in just a second. Are you new to Grape Encounters Radio? If so, you may want to check out some of our past shows, and we have every single one of them available to you at GrapeEncountersRadio.com. You simply go to the website and click on the Shows button, and you'll find a description of each and every show that we've done for more than a year, and you can just simply click on that link and either download the show or you can listen to it right there as you're online with Grape Encounters Radio. Another thing you might want to check out is our photo gallery, where we've got a whole bunch of photos of all the things that we've done and talked about here on Grape Encounters Radio. You might also want to check out those highly sought-after mermaid photos. You'll find them in the artiste file under our photo gallery. Really worth checking out. And, of course, all the other photos there as well. There's a lot of fun to be found at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality, too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients, so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we would love to help support your wine-related event. In past weeks, we've supported the Chardonnay Symposium, which was a major hit. And we also supported the Cellar Classic, which set a record by raising over $100,000 in that rare wine auction. We, of course, also have been involved with a couple of events over at our friends Sarlos & Sons, which have been major hits. So we'd like to help you as well. If you have an event that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio, you can contact us through the website at grapeencountersradio.com and just let us know what you've got going on, or find us on Facebook at the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page. All you have to do is search for Grape Encounters Radio and you'll find us there, along with a very big fan base. We really appreciate all of you who've joined our group page at Grape Encounters Radio.
Love my rosy child, you got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style. Crackling Rose, your store-bought woman, but you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running.
And we're back with more Grape Encounters Radio. And you thought you could run, but you can't hide. Hey, Keith Sarlos, we found you.
Yes, you did. How are you doing?
Well, good. You know what? We wanted to get you on the show because we were talking earlier in the show about the trend toward younger wine drinkers. And yeah. and I thought that I could just call you up at the wine tasting room and no can do. Where the heck are you? You're totally out of state.
I am in South Dakota, actually.
And what are you buying grapes there? Is that what's going on?
No. I'm a lifetime friend of mine, one of my best friends, has a company and setting up a store in Sturgis. And I am literally standing in the hot sun in Sturgis. You can hear all the motorcycles all around me. It's an unbelievable time. I'm having the time of my life.
So we're talking about a major motorcycle event going on up there?
Yeah, 650,000 people.
And
we're
having
a great time.
And did you ride up on the Sarlos & Sons Harley?
No, actually I left the Sarlos & Sons Harley at home. We actually drove 24 hours straight to get here.
Oh my gosh. Why did you not go on motorcycle?
Because we had to get here in 24 hours.
Okay. Well,
we put on 1,400 miles in 23 hours, so it was a lot of fun.
And it's hard on the... You know what? This seems to be a very important time back in the vineyard. I can't believe Larry, your dad, let you off the hook and let you go to Sturgis. I'm guessing you can only go for a couple of days.
Hey, the last day I had a day off was... January 3rd, so I think I kind of earned this one.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to interrupt your really good time.
No, let's talk, man.
You know, but...
I'm walking as I do this.
You know how it goes? It's like I get a wild hair, and then I always want to talk to you about it and bounce things off of you, because you are Keith Sarlos, and the philosopher of wine. But, you know, when I opened up the show, I was talking about... the big trend toward young wine drinkers, and I wandered into a wine bar the other day, and there was a group of kids that came in there, and this young guy was celebrating his 21st birthday, and you know, he wasn't doing it with tequila, he was doing it with wine, and I was so impressed with that. And then I started to do some research, because you know, I've been feeling this trend, I've been sensing it, but really wasn't able to confirm it. But you know, what gives in your wine bar? Because I mean, your wine tasting room, because it's mostly young people, isn't it?
You know, I don't know. I think we kind of skew all the way across the board. But yeah, we definitely have, like, you know, I won't say a younger crowd, but one of the things that we really work hard on is making wine really accessible to pretty much everyone. And
right.
one of the things we've become is a place that's really safe and a lot of fun. So when you come in and say you've never, you know, nothing about wine except that you want to try it and get into it, we just really try to provide a safe place for people to do that. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, like if you like jazz music or you hear one song and you want to get into it, the first time you go to a jazz club, if everybody's a jerk to you, you're never going to come back. And so we really try to be ambassadors to, you know, if you're brand new to wine or you know everything about wine, just don't be a snob and have a good time and take our wine home and drink it with people you love.
You must get an awful lot of people in there that you've got a card now, right?
Absolutely. We card pretty much everybody.
And, well, actually, you've never carded me, actually.
I know you.
Okay. How many times do you have people come in there that are celebrating their 21st birthday? Does that happen pretty often?
Yeah, we get that a lot. And we get people celebrating 21st birthday. They get people, you know, celebrating with mom and dad, kind of a rite of passage thing. And they saw their, you know, if mom and dad are into wine and they've been doing that for a while, then, you know, their 21st birthday, it's like, what do you want to do? And mom and dad says, hey, how about we go wine tasting? Because they've, you know, probably been dragged around a few times. And now they get to actually see what mom and dad are talking about and partake at the table, which is kind of like, you know, the European style as a part of the family, as part of, you know, togetherness and you know, one bottle, one family.
So that's a pretty popular thing that mom and dad drag their 21-year-old in there. And is
The mom and dad are, you know, have been dragging the kid around while they go wine tasting.
I see. Okay, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, mom and dad say, hey, you turned 21. Why don't we, you know, head up north and we can go wine tasting and do that kind of a thing. And let's try it out. And usually, you know, we found the kids go, yeah, you know, I've always had little sips of mom and dad. And I want to see what this is about. But
yeah,
it's really encouraging. It's a lot of fun. And it's something that parents can share with their kids, you know, that they turn 21 and build a little bit of an appreciation for, you know, good wine and not PBR, which is, you know, my beer of choice.
Now, if you're just joining us, folks, you're listening to Keith Sarlos, and I know there's a lot of noise and static in the background because we had to track Keith down. We don't normally do cell phone interviews on Grape Encounters Radio, but with Keith, we make an exception, especially because he's always in colorful places. But it's Keith Sarlos of Sarlos & Sons, one of our very favorite, and I mean favorite, winemakers, and they are in Los Olivos, California. But Keith has flown the nest and is in Sturgis, South Dakota with, what'd you say, 650,000 motorcycle riders?
The real fun part is we found people that we ran into on the street that were actually standing by that know our wine. So it's been
Oh, no. You've got to be kidding
cool.
me. I love you, Keith!
Now, have you run into any wine tasting rooms there in Sturgis?
Yeah, actually, there's a vineyard. We went and checked it out. It was pretty cool.
Oh, really? Well, what were their wines like?
You know, they were... It was Prairie Berry, and it was pretty fun. We had a good time. We were there only for a minute. We were driving real fast.
Let's go back to the young wine drinkers for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, one of the things that that I guess is really apparent is they are not into tradition, really. Like, they don't really care about things like screw caps as much as older wine drinkers, right?
Well, it's a few different things. If you're brand new to something, you really don't know what any of the traditions are.
Well, that's it. You know what? Hold it. That's
feels right to you.
That's a very good point. I hadn't even thought about it. Yeah. So they're coming in cold.
Well, they come in cold, and you know, America's really a beer culture. I mean, I'm here in the heart of South Dakota, and people are drinking Miller and Bud and Pabst, and there's not a lot of Merlot flowing.
Now, when you tell them that you're a winemaker, do they want to beat you up?
No, actually, to be honest with you, I was wearing a Charleston's Bud shirt yesterday. A guy ran up and said, hey, we've had your wine. I said, where do you live? And they said, Minnesota. And I went, you got to be kidding me. And he goes, no, I can't believe it. We talked for like 20 minutes. Wine culture in general is pretty welcoming. But, you know, going back to what you were talking about, if mom and dad, you know, drink beer and you're getting in, you know, say the kid getting into wine or trying to check it out, then he's, you know, coming into it brand new. And, you know, establishing the ground rules for what he finds good or she finds good in the wine, and rules be damned, just go for it and drink what you like. That's kind of the rules of Grape Encounters.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, but now I'm asking myself this question. How did I get so hung up in the tradition? Because, you know, did I come in cold or did I watch mom and dad uncork the bottle and go through all the tradition that comes with wine drinking?
Yeah, but, you know, really, if we're talking about traditional aspects of it, the only thing you're really talking about right now is the way it's either enclosed or, like, a box or a screw cap or whatever.
Right.
That is the least important part of a bottle of wine. I mean, who cares how you close it? What's the heart and soul of that wine is inside of there.
Yeah, but, you know, you are a good example of one other thing that has really begun to change, and it's labeling. Because, you know, wine labels were pretty consistent for a really long time.
Well, yeah, they're government labels, bottom line.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is that you would have the 05 cab, the 06 cab, the 07 cab, the 08 cab, and you've completely blown that off, and I see a lot of wine winemakers that are doing that, because, you know, you start with a fresh canvas, I think, every year now, right?
Well, yeah, we do, definitely. You know, I think some people are starting to do that, but, you know, you have to be a real nice, small winery, be very nimble, be able to make, you know, good decisions like that and have them hit, you know, hit people in the mouth. But if you did that on a grocery store shelf, you know, people would get confused on the labeling. So that's why we don't sell in any stores or any restaurants, because we want the freedom to be able to, you know, do whatever we can.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting that, you know, what you're doing is not too terribly different than what car manufacturers are doing. You know, they continually put out new cars with new names and change it up to make it more interesting for the consumer.
Like we talked about, you know, it's an age of discovery. It's an age of figuring out, you know, what floats your own personal boat. I mean, you can get connected. I hear more and more people finding a good wine because their friends drink it on Facebook and put a label up on their page and said, oh, we're enjoying this with our friends, and we're really having a good time. You guys should check out this winery. And more than, you know, checking out scores.
So do you think that among the millennials and the Gen X crowd that they're doing more wine discovery online than they are in wine stores, supermarkets, and just going to parties?
Well, it's all word of mouth. That's really what it comes down to. And if your friend says it's a good wine, that's how movies are. You know, movies have huge budgets, so people know that they're out. But, you know, a box office is made or lost on the first people who go and see it.
But bottom line is that that younger people are talking to literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people at a time through Facebook and Twitter and things like that. And it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
It does. And, like, you know, you have Seattle Wine Gal on all the time, and West Hagen, you know, and me, and, you know, a lot of people, we put out what we're doing. And, you know, right now you're getting to know a wine that's still on a vine.
Yeah.
And in a few years, you actually get to taste that stuff. And it does. It makes it really super special.
All right. Listen, hey friend, we're going to let you go and have fun in Sturgis. I appreciate you being on, and be safe. And we look forward to hearing about your adventures in Sturgis when you return and we have you on a landline. Keith Sarlos, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it. I guess we lost him. Okay. I think Keith just collapsed in the streets of Sturgis, South Dakota. And that's it this week for Grape Encounters Radio. We'll be back here at the same time next week with lots more fun. And remember, if you're a glass half empty kind of person, keep the bottle nearby.